attempt to preach your word. I've got a piece of paper written with some notes and things that I'd like to say and teach in regards to this passage this morning. But Father, if the Holy Spirit doesn't come down, it is in vain. And Father, I ask that your Spirit would come upon me and that He would help me to teach and preach, Lord, and that this Resurrection Sunday might be a day that lives would be changed, that our hearts would be transformed, Lord, that we would be able to learn from your word. In your precious name I pray, amen. All right, well, we're there in Luke chapter number 24, and like we've been talking about all morning, today is Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday, and obviously today is the day that we celebrate that the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. And this morning, we're going to study the resurrection of the Lord out of Luke here. Luke 24 will be our passage for this morning, although we'll look at some other references. But this morning, I just want to give you three quick thoughts in regards to the resurrection here out of Luke chapter number 24. Three thoughts in regards to the resurrection. And these are three things that the resurrection brought to you and I. Three things that the resurrection makes available for you and I. And I want you to just notice these things this morning. Let's go ahead. We read the entire chapter, but let's go ahead and read. Let's start at verse number 1 and just read these verses again. And don't get past. Don't just read quickly through these verses, but realize what it's saying. It says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning." Now we know the first day of the week is Sunday. "And very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." Now these women, we know from others' Gospels, showed up first thing in the morning, Sunday morning. They go to the gravesite fully expecting to find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ laying in the grave. And they were going there and they're bringing spices, they're going to take care of His body, they're going to do some things there. Verse 2, "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre." Now, I don't have time to go to the other passages this morning because we're going to look at a lot of passages here in a minute. But you need to understand, it's clear from the other Gospel accounts that the roll, because you got to understand this, and I don't want you to miss this. A lot of people think that the angels came down and they rolled the stone away so that Jesus could get out. That is not true. The Bible says the angels came down and they rolled the stone away so that the women and Peter and the rest of the apostles could identify that Jesus Christ, He was already God. He'd already resurrected. He doesn't need help to get out of the tomb. You know what I mean? He was already out of there, and the stone was rolled away to show them that He wasn't there. Look at verse 3. "And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed," they were confused, "thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them," notice what they said, I like this, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Say, why are you looking for someone who's alive, Jesus Christ, at a sepulchre, at a graveside? He said, "With the dead." Look at verse 6. I love this verse. "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." An angel appears and tells them, "Hey, Jesus isn't here. He's risen." And they were like, "Really? I don't know about that." Would you believe an angel if he appeared to you? I think I would. Look at verse 12. "Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." Now, the first thing I want you to understand about the resurrection, and the first thing we can learn from this passage is this. The resurrection brought reconciliation. The resurrection reconciled us to Christ. Say, what are you talking about? Well, in verse 13, we begin of one of those stories. See, what you need to understand is that Lord Jesus Christ, while upon this earth, He ministered and He lived. Remember when He began His ministry, He preached for 3.5 years. Remember that? And for those 3.5 years, He chose out 12 disciples and He walked about and He did good and He did miracles and He preached and He was with them for those entire 3.5 years. But when Jesus died and when He resurrected from the grave, what you need to understand, He was on earth for another 40 days. But He was not on earth in the same way that He was with them before His death. At the resurrection, Jesus Christ is now in His glorified body. You say, what is a glorified body? That is a heavenly body. That is the same body that you and I are going to get when we're resurrected at the rapture. And when He's in this body, He's able to do amazing things. He's able to walk out of a tomb without rolling the stone away. The Bible makes it clear in other Gospels that He's walking through walls. He's traveling at the speed of light. He's doing a lot of amazing things in this. And He wasn't with them every day for those 40. He appeared only at specific times. And by the way, let me say this. He only appeared to believers after His resurrection. He only appeared to Christians. You say, why is that? Why didn't he appear and then go to the Pharisees and say, hey, remember me? You know what I'm talking about? That's what I would have done. That's what you would have done. That's why we're not Jesus. But He appears. You say, well, why is that? Because salvation is believing. It's faith. The Bible tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So see, at His resurrection, He only appeared to those who already believed. He didn't appear to the unbelievers. Because they didn't believe already. And He wasn't. You can't believe in something, you know, you got to believe with it without seeing. But in verse 13, we begin a story here. There's only a handful of times that the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to His disciples after the resurrection. And verse 13 begins a story of one of the times He appeared to the disciples. Look at verse 13. And behold, two of them, so there's two disciples here. Now, neither one of these are the 12, they're not the 12 apostles, okay? Because you remember, Jesus had 12 apostles, and then He had 70 disciples, and then He had more disciples after that. We know that at the day of Pentecost, He had 120 at His church there in Jerusalem. And the Bible says in verse 13, here we find two of these disciples, and behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus. So there's these two guys, and they're on the road, they're traveling together, and they're going from Jerusalem to this city, or this town, this village, Emmaus. Are you with me? Look at verse 13. Which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. So it's 60 furlongs. That is the distance between Jerusalem and Emmaus. You can do your research or whatever, but most people agree that 3-4 furlongs or the measurement between Jerusalem and Emmaus is about 7 miles. So these two guys, they're disciples. It's the third day, and they've got business, or they've got their homes, or they've got something going on in Emmaus. They're in Jerusalem, and they decide, we're going to take this time. And they start walking 7 miles down the road, going to Emmaus. I want to make sure you understand the story. Look at verse 14. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, notice, Jesus Himself drew near. And He went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. Now you need to understand this, and we're going to come back to it in a second. But when Jesus resurrected from the grave, the Bible tells us He looked like Himself, but obviously He's in a glorified body. And at certain times He was able to hide Himself so that they could see Him, but they didn't recognize Him. Okay, that's what that's talking about. And you got to understand that to understand the story. Look at verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. So they saw Him, they talked to Him, but they didn't know it was Jesus. Look at verse 17. And He said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? Because they're talking about the death of Christ, and they're talking about the fact that He was buried, and they're talking about this. And He says, these two guys are just walking down the road. This third guy shows up and says, hey, can I walk with you guys? They're like, sure. They start walking on the road and they're talking about Jesus and they're like, yeah, I was so sad. It was so bad. Why does Judas do that? Why did he betray him? You know, they're talking. And this guy, Jesus Christ, but they don't know it's Him, says, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another? He said, as ye walk and are sad. He's like, what are you guys so sad about? Look at verse 18. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, notice how he says, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? That word stranger means foreigner. And they're like, are you a foreigner? Did you just show up? Did you just come into town? He's like, don't you know what's been going on in Jerusalem? Because 3 days ago, remember, the whole assembly came together and they beat Jesus and they crucified him and they yelled, crucify him! Do you remember that? It was an entire uproar of the city. And these guys are like, what do you mean? What are we talking about? Like, did you just come into town? Are you a stranger? Are you a foreigner? Luke verse 19. I love Jesus. He's kind of a comical guy if you think about it. And he said unto them, they're talking to Jesus, about Jesus. And they're like, don't you know what we're talking about? We're sad because of Jesus. And they're like, don't you know what happened? Luke verse 19. And he, Jesus, said unto them, what things? He's like, what are you talking about? Did I miss something? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed. Now I want you to make note of this. They said he was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. So they said Jesus was at the very least a prophet mighty indeed. Now let me ask you a question. Were there other prophets mighty indeed? Yes, there were. I would say Elijah was a prophet mighty indeed. I would say Isaiah was a prophet mighty indeed. I would say Elisha was a prophet. And Jeremiah, they were all prophets mighty indeed. Now, a prophet mighty indeed, praise the Lord for that. But there's nothing supernatural about a prophet mighty indeed and word. But notice they said, verse 19, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priest, verse 20, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Now notice, here's why they're sad. It's sad enough when a good man and a good preacher and a prophet gets killed for the word of God. When John the Baptist had his head cut off, that was sad enough. But they said, here's why we're sad. This man showed up. This teacher showed up. This prophet showed up. And he was doing mighty works and mighty deeds and preaching with the power of God. And they said, but they put him to death. And they said, here's why we're sad. Verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. You said, what are they talking about? They said, here's what they're saying to this man. Jesus. They said, not only did they put a good man to death. He said, not only did they put a prophet and a preacher and a man mighty in word and deed to death. They said, we trusted that this was not just a prophet. We trusted that this was the Christ. They said, we trusted this was the Messiah. We trusted this was the man, the Son of God that came down, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. They said, we thought this man was good. We thought he was the Savior, and they killed him. They said, that's why we're sad. Verse 21. But we trusted that it had been that he which should have redeemed Israel. That word redeemed is talking about purchasing back. It's talking about ransoming Israel. He said, we thought he was this man that's going to bring salvation. Notice, and besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished. That word astonished means we were amazed, we wondered. They made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. He said, we don't know what's going on. We thought he was a Savior. They put him to death. And we saw him get buried. We saw the stone get rolled over the sepulcher. And then the ladies went there and the stone was gone. His body's gone. We don't know where he's at. He's like, we don't know what we're doing. Now you got to understand. Please understand this. These were disciples of Jesus Christ. These men had left their homes, they left their families, they left their jobs, they left their entire lives to follow this man who they thought was the Christ, and now he was dead and his body's missing. They're sad. Now here's what you say, well, what does it have to do with all of this? Here's what you got to understand. Without the resurrection, Jesus Christ would have just been a normal man who died. You understand that? Without the resurrection, Jesus would have been a great teacher. He would have been a great prophet. He would have been a great leader, a great religious leader. But let me tell you something. If he would not have risen from the grave, then that's it. That's all it would have been. Is a good man who did not deserve to die, but he died. But let me tell you something. The Bible is clear that he did resurrect. Amen. So today you have, you know, I heard somebody say that a few years back, the Buddhists were rejoicing in their religion because they had found the grave of Buddha. And and they found the bones of Buddha. They said, this was our leader. And they found his bones and they were religious. Let me tell you something. I rejoice not that our leader and our Messiah and the man that instituted our religion, I'm glad that they'll never find his bones. They'll never find his body. Hey, the grave is empty. Why? Because if he didn't resurrect, then that means he was just a man like you and I. But he resurrected. Keep your finger there in Luke because we're coming back to it. But go real quickly. Go to 1 Corinthians. I want to show you something real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Just real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Look at verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Now, for those of you who like to study the Bible, and I hope it's all of you, 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter. Okay, if you want to learn about the resurrection, study 1 Corinthians 15. It's all about the resurrection. I'm not going to go through and read the whole thing, but I want to just point out these verses to you. Look at verse 16. For if the dead rise not, are you there in 1 Corinthians 15? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, look at verse 15. Look what the Bible says. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ, notice, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You see that? If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Yet are ye in your sins. He said, look, if Jesus Christ didn't resurrect from the grave, then your faith, it means nothing. And you're still in your sins. Look at verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. He said, if Christ didn't rise from the grave, then everybody who fell asleep, referring to that, that was a Christian that went, he said, they're perished. They're in hell. If Christ didn't rise from the grave. Look at verse 19. Don't miss this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, notice what it says. We are of all men most miserable. You see that? Isn't that interesting? Here's what the Bible's saying. If the only advantage to Christianity is on this world, if Jesus didn't raise from the grave, because here's the thing. You say, well, why does it matter if Jesus rose from the grave? Because if God couldn't raise the only begotten Son from the grave, He's not going to be able to resurrect you and I from the grave. Our hope is in the resurrection of Christ, because the fact that God resurrected Him means that one day He'll resurrect me. But let me tell you something. If this is all a lie, if it is not true, if Jesus did not resurrect, the Bible says if our only hope in Christ is on this earth, we are of all men most miserable. So why is that? When you start delving into real Christianity, I'm not talking about your little, you know, just kind of getting in and you know, doing a little, you know, I'm a Christian kind of, you know, I'm an undercover Christian. I'm a Secret Service Christian. When you start living the Christian life and you start reading the Bible and you start changing your life and you start, you know, you start showing up to church. Let me tell you something. You start getting sold out in the Christian life. Just get ready for it. People are going to say, are you in a cult? Are you insane? You're going to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night? And Wednesday night? And you're going to go knock on doors? What's wrong with you? And if in this life all we have is that, let me tell you something. It's not worth it. It's not worth living for God if it just finishes here. Hey, we are of all men most miserable. But notice what Paul says. Look what he said. Look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Paul would really know that. You know, if you study the life of Paul, because of the cause of Christ, he was stoned, he was beaten, he was imprisoned, he was put to death, and God resurrected him, amen? He suffered a lot, and he struggled a lot, and he says, look, this is not worth it. If I just die and we're wrong, he's like, why are we doing this? He said, verse 19, if this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He says, look, it's worth it. I love that song. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Yes. The life's struggles and life's trials, he said, it'll seem so small when we see Him. It's worth it. Christ is risen. Now you say, why are you making a big deal about this, Pastor? Go back to Luke 24. There are those today who would like to teach and preach that Jesus Christ did not resurrect from the grave. The Jehovah's Witnesses today will teach Jesus did not resurrect from the grave. It was a spiritual resurrection. He was like a ghost. He came back as a ghost. You say, well, why does it matter? It matters. This is why it matters. If there's no resurrection, then we are of all men most miserable. There is no hope. There is no salvation. There is no reconciliation. My sins have not been forgiven. My sins are not gone if Jesus did not pay for them on the cross and resurrect from the grave. The Jehovah's Witnesses, and not just, you say, why do you pick out the Jehovah's Witnesses? Because that's what most people know. But the Jehovah's Witnesses and many other religions will teach, Jesus did not resurrect. He did not come from the, he did not, it was a spiritual resurrection. It was a allegory. It was, he came back as a ghost. Now let me show you. Are you there in Luke 24? Look at verse number, where do I want you to go? Verse number 36. Look at verse 36. I want you to see this. Don't miss this. And as they thus spake, notice, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Okay, they were all talking, the disciples, and Jesus just appears in the middle of them. Isn't that amazing? And saith unto them, notice what he says, peace be unto you. Say, why did he say peace be unto you? Because he just appeared in front of them. What would you be doing? Look at verse 37. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. You see that? Why did they suppose they'd seen a spirit? Because the last time they saw Christ, he was dead being put in a tomb. And now he just shows up in front of them and he says, peace. They're terrified. They were afraid. No, I want you to, don't miss this. Suppose that they had seen a spirit. You see that? Look at verse 38. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Notice what he says. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. Notice what he says. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Do you see that? You know what Jesus was saying? You didn't see a spirit. You didn't see a ghost. You didn't see an image. He says, touch me. He says, look, a spirit does not have flesh and bones like you see. You know what he's really saying? He resurrected from the grave. And let me tell you something. Jesus' resurrection was a bodily resurrection. He resurrected from the grave. And the same power that resurrected him from the grave is what gives us hope that one day you and I will be resurrected. We know we've got a home in heaven. We know we're going to heaven. We know we're 100% sure we're going to. Why? Because if Jesus got resurrected, then I can trust in God that he'll resurrect you and I. Without the resurrection, there is no reconciliation. Are you there in 1 Corinthians still? I didn't tell you to stay there, did I? Go to 2 Corinthians, real quickly. 2 Corinthians 15. It's in my notes that you're supposed to stay there, but I didn't say it. You're supposed to know what I'm thinking. 2 Corinthians, just real quickly. Go. Let me show you this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You say, if there's no resurrection, then there's no reconciliation. If there's no resurrection, then there's no salvation. If there's no resurrection, there's no hope. If there's no resurrection, there's no point of us doing this. There's no point of reading your Bible. There's no point of praying. But the Bible says, now is Christ risen from the grave, from the dead. Are you there in 2 Corinthians? Look at chapter 5, real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 15. What did the resurrection bring? It brought reconciliation. It reconciled us to God. See, you and I, because of our sins, were at odds with God. Your sins have put you at odds with God. Are you there? Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Look what it says. Look at verse 15. And that he said for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. Do you see that? You shouldn't live unto yourself. You should live for him that died for you. Amen. But he not only died for you. Look at the last part. 2 Corinthians 5:15. He not only died for them. He rose again. Do you see that? Died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, though we know man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Do you see that? Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And without the resurrection, there's no new life. Without the resurrection, there's no forgiveness of sins. Hey, I thank God for the resurrection. Why? Because without the resurrection, then Jesus was a man. He was a good man. He was a good teacher. He was a good leader. He did good things, but he died, and that was it. But that's not, see, the foundational doctrine of Christianity is this, that the Messiah died for our sin, but he didn't stay there. He rose from the grave. And that brought us salvation. That brought us reconciliation. That brought us forgiveness of sin. That made it so that I could be forgiven, so that I can have a new life. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's what the resurrection brought. You're there in 2 Corinthians? Look at verse 17 actually. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled. You see that? Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now keep your finger there in 2 Corinthians, okay? Because we're going to come back to that. Go to Philippians, real quickly. 2 Corinthians. You got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Just real quickly, Philippians. Now, put your bulletin or something in 2 Corinthians. Put another bulletin, somebody else's bulletin. Steal your neighbor's bulletin, and put that in Philippians. Because we're gonna come back to Philippians as well. All right? Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Or put a finger, or you got a ribbon or something. Philippians chapter number 3. Look at verse 13. Well, actually, skip down to verse 13. Look what he says. This is what Paul said. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what the reason most of us fail at life is? Because of one word: guilt. You feel guilty because of the sin in your life. You feel guilty because of the way you acted in a marriage, and maybe you know you shouldn't. You feel guilty because of the way you raised your kids. You say, I've made some mistakes. Or you feel guilty because of things you've done in your life. And you say, hey, but let me tell you something. The resurrection brings a new life. That's what it represents. Jesus Christ, who became sin for us. For he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And when Jesus on the cross, the Bible tells us, he literally took your sin. He took my sin. He put all the mistakes, all the guilt, every mistake we've ever made, every sin we've ever done, he put it on the cross. And here's what he did. He became our sin, and then he put that sin to death. And when he resurrected, it was a new life. And when you believe in Christ, the Bible says that you are buried with him spiritually, and you are resurrected, you are quickened, you become a new man. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth into those things which are before, he said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. That's what the resurrection brought. No more guilt. No more beating yourself up about the past and the thing. Just say, hey, bless God, the resurrection gives me a new start. Reconciliation. That's what the resurrection brought. But you've got to believe that it was a physical resurrection. He resurrected from the grave. Okay, so you got your finger in Philippians, right? You got another finger in 2 Corinthians. So put your index finger in Philippians. Put your thumb in 2 Corinthians. Put your big toe back to Luke 24, okay? Luke chapter 24. If you feel comfortable doing that, go right ahead. If I took my shoe off and showed you my toes, you would probably not come back. My wife probably wouldn't come back. Luke 24. The resurrection brought reconciliation. The resurrection brought forgiveness. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I don't know that I've been forgiven. If I died right now, I don't know that I would go to heaven. Don't leave here not knowing that. You can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Talk to me, talk to one of these guys, find somebody wearing a tie and say, how can I know? Because that's what the resurrection did. It brought reconciliation. It brought forgiveness. It brought a new life. But number two, I want you to see, the resurrection not only brought reconciliation, number two, I want you to see, the resurrection brought a relationship. The resurrection brought a relationship. Go back, are you there in Luke 24? Go back to verse 13, look what it says. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was about from Jerusalem about 3 days furlong. So these people were taking a journey. Here's what you need to understand. This story is a physical story that literally happened, but here's what the story represents. It represents the journey of your life. See, all of us are on a journey. All of us are traveling. And notice, sometimes in our journey, skip down to verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another? As ye walk and are sad. You see that? He said, you're sad. He said, you're discouraged. He said, you're not feeling well. Why? Because they thought that someone had failed them. Now, Jesus didn't fail them, but that's what they thought. But you know what? In our lives, in your lives, you know what? If it hasn't happened to you already, you know what? One day, man's going to fail you. One day, ladies, someday a man may come and stand at an altar and promise before God that He will stay with you till death do you part, and then break that promise. One day, gentlemen, a lady may say, I love you till death do us part, and then run off with a guy. Someday your children, who you look at when they're young and everything's great, you know, when they're little. When they're little, you can force them to love you. You can make them cuddle. You can make them, you know. But they may grow up and leave your house and break your heart. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you'll go through financial hardship. But look, all of us in our journey at some point find ourselves sad and discouraged. Find ourselves maybe taken advantage of. Maybe these people said, well, we gave Jesus 3.5 years of our lives, and what did we get from it? We trusted that He was the Messiah, and look, He let us down. Look, He didn't keep His promise. Look, He failed. They were sad. See, what you need to understand is this, though. Just look at verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, look, Jesus Himself drew near. Number one, you need to understand this. Jesus wants to travel with you on your journey. Jesus, he said, Jesus brings me reconciliation. And Jesus brings me salvation. And if that's all that Jesus ever brings to you, then praise God for it. But you know that salvation, that's not all He wants. He doesn't just want to reconcile you to God. He wants to establish a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you. Remember that song? I come to the garden alone. And I walk with Him and I talk with Him. And He tells me I am His own. That's the relationship He wants to establish. Man. These guys were walking up and they're complaining. They're complaining and they're sad and they're discouraged about Jesus. They're complaining about Jesus. We thought He was the Messiah. We thought He was a good man. We thought He was going to redeem us, and now He's God, and now He lied, and He didn't do what He was going to say, and now we're sad. And Jesus says, can I walk with you? Now here's what's interesting. They didn't acknowledge it. They didn't understand. Look at verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. They're discouraged. I wish I could communicate this stuff. They're walking with Jesus, complaining about the fact that Jesus is gone. And you and I as Christians walk through our lives and we go through sadness and we go through discouragement and people fail us and you and I complain and say, where is God? Why has God forsaken me? Where is Jesus? Why did He do this? And the whole time Jesus is walking beside you, you don't even know it. Amen. The whole time Jesus is right there. You're complaining about Him to Him. And He's saying, oh really? What happened? Oh really? Tell me about it. And you and I don't even realize it. People come to me and they say, Pastor, I'm so lonely. Nobody reaches out to me. And I think to myself, well, there's no reason why you ought to. You know how Jesus ministers to you? Through His body. You know what His body is? The church. Right. Pastor, I'm so lonely. Nobody. And I think to myself, what are you so lonely about? I mean, we meet together Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There's a ladies' activity once a month. They're soul winning. Whenever you want to go, there's a men's preaching night. We do this, we do that. I haven't seen you at any of those meetings. What are you so lonely about? Jesus was there the whole time. We'll even go out and pick you up. We'll even go out and bring you. I don't know a lot of churches that do that. Jesus left me. No, maybe you just don't realize that Jesus was right there. Maybe you just need to open your eyes and realize He's walking with you the whole time. He's with you the whole time. Look at verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto them, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And He said unto them, what things? And they said unto them, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death, and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. They said, we trusted in Him. And besides this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found out His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw not. Then He said unto them, notice, this is Jesus talking to them. Notice what He says. So they're complaining about Jesus to Jesus. Now Jesus is going to start to talk to them. Look what he says. Then he, Jesus, said unto them, now realize they don't know it's Jesus, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. He says, ought not Christ have suffered these things and enter into his glory? He said, look, the Bible said that Jesus was supposed to die. The Bible says that the Messiah was supposed to die. He's like, what are you so upset about? This is the Psalms. Remember, we saw the passage. We saw in Isaiah. We saw in Psalms. It's all throughout the Bible. He said, you're slow of heart. You don't believe. He said, ought not Christ to have suffered? Look at verse 27. I just want you to see this. This is what Jesus did. And beginning at Moses, talking about the books of Moses. Do you know what the books of Moses are? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Beginning at Moses, at the beginning of the Bible, and all the prophets, notice what Jesus did. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They're walking down the road with Jesus, don't realize it's Jesus, complaining about Jesus. And Jesus said, well, don't you remember that in Genesis it said that he was going to bruise his heel? He said, don't you remember in Psalms how it gives that prophet? Don't you remember in Isaiah where it said, he said, and he starts explaining to them that this was supposed to happen. Isn't that interesting? So what can we learn from that? See, oftentimes we find ourselves sad and discouraged. In our darkest hours, we don't realize that Christ is with us. But you know what will solve most of your burdens? Say, Pastor, I'm burdened. I'm sad for you. Many are burdened today. Many are hurting today. But here's the problem. So many people are burdened, and so many people are sad, and so many people, and they don't know how to cope with it. And let me tell you how our world tells you to cope with it. You're sad? Here, drink this beer. It'll help you be happy. Here, take this pill. Here, smoke this thing. Here, take, you know, inject this into your body. And here, oh, you're sad? Yeah, just go. And here's how the world, and teenagers, listen to me right now. You may think that sleeping around, and you may think that fornicating, and you may think that I've got some boy, and he's showing me attention, and this is love, and this is fulfillment. It's going to hurt you.
Yes.
That's how our world fulfills it. And look, you can play all your games, and you can go on all your trips, and you can go on all your vacations, you can make all the money you want. It's not going to fill a void in your life. Look at these rock and roll stars. All the money in the world, and they're just killing themselves, they're overdosing on drugs. Why? Because none of that brings happiness. None of that brings fulfillment. Money doesn't bring happiness. Relationships don't bring happiness. Hey, it could all be used of God, but let me tell you something. Only thing that brings happiness is a relationship with Christ.
Yes.
The only thing that brings fulfillment is knowing God and knowing His Word. And that's what Jesus began to do. He said, let me explain to you the Bible. And he begins to teach them the Bible. Keep your finger on Luke. Go to Matthew. We got to hurry up because those eggs are getting cold. Matthew chapter. We got to speed this up. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse 29. Matthew chapter number 11. Look at verse 29. The Bible says Matthew 11:29. Look what the Bible says. You say, I am burdened. I am heavy. I am sad. I am going through something. Look what the Bible says. Matthew chapter number 11. Verse 21. Look what the Bible says. Take my yoke upon you. This is what Jesus said. Notice. And learn of me. You know what Jesus said? Jesus told you to learn of him. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I don't understand. Let me tell you something. The world is lying to you. We'll talk about this tonight, the wiles of the devil. The world wants to tell me, the world looks at Christianity and says, you go to church, and you read your Bible, and you wear a tie? Your life must be so miserable. Hey, look, I woke up this morning and I didn't have a hangover. I woke up this morning and a little baby daughter reached out to me and hugged my neck. I woke up this morning and I had a beautiful wife who said, well, we got to get down to church and hide the eggs to be a blessing. Hey, just, the world may look at Christianity and say, you guys are so lame. You guys are, your life is, just, their life is lame and their life is sad. And they look like they're having fun at the club and at the parties and the alcohol and the drugs. But it brings misery and it brings death and they're not fulfilled. But you know who is fulfilled? I am. I'm happy. Why? Because my sins are gone. Gone, gone. My sins are gone. And Jesus Christ gave me salvation. Absalom, we'll see you when you come back, broken, lonely. Okay, Absalom, we'll see you dying on a tree. Moses said, I'd rather suffer the afflictions of the people of God than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season. If there's pleasure in sin for a season, sin will keep you longer than you want to stay.
Yes, it will.
It'll cost you more than you want to pay. Sin is not worth it. Well, I don't know about this. If you just took the step and got sold out for God, let me tell you something. You would never look back. I don't know about that. I don't know about that baptism thing. I don't know about that reading my Bible every day. I don't know about that, but Pastor, that's kind of weird. Going to church 2 times a week, I don't know. If you started walking with God, started knowing God, look what the Bible says. Are you there in Luke 24? Or you're in Matthew? Go back to Luke 24. Look what it says. Look, the Bible says, verse 28, look at this. And they drew nigh unto the village. They got close to Emmaus, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. I love Jesus. They're walking. They know they're going to Emmaus. You know, they're on the road, Emmaus right there. And they start to slow down and they start to go this way. Jesus goes, okay, see you later. He acts like he's going to keep going. Verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And we went into, and he went into tarry with them. So he said, don't go. He said, well, stay with us. It's late. You can't keep walking. It's nighttime. It's dangerous. Jesus is like, I've already died. What are they going to do to me? They're like, stick around. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. Look at verse 31. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. They knew it was Christ. And he vanished out of their sight. See the glorified body? See, I can't do that one day. I can't do that now, but I could be able to do it one day. If I could do that now, I'd go on the road. I'd make money. Verse 32. And they said one to another, look what they said. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? See, I wish, see, I can't explain it. I wish I could get some of you to say, hey, come on in the light, in the Christian life, in the sold out life, come on in. It's great on this side. The world says, I don't know about all that. I don't know, getting to know, I don't want to be called a Jesus, you know, a Bible thumper. I think you'll survive, it's okay. They're just words, they can't hurt you. I don't want, what are my family going to think? They already think you're weird. They already don't like you. Might as well just get sold out. Might as well have God like you. You say, well, wait, I don't know. I just wish, here's the thing. When they walked with Christ and when they knew the Bible, they said, our hearts burned within us. You know what it says in the Greek? Holy heartburn. They said we found joy, we found fulfillment, we saw the Bible. They said it was worth it. They said, we were sad and discouraged, so we started walking with this man. We didn't know who it was, but it was Jesus. And he taught us the Bible, and he taught us about himself, and our hearts burned within us. They said we had a relationship with Christ. They said we knew him. 2 Peter says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Philippians there, I told you to keep your finger there. You can go, if you can find it real quickly, go there. But in Philippians 3, Paul said, that I may know him, Jesus Christ. And when I know him, notice he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. And by the way, in that passage is verse 13. Brethren, I count on myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God says, Jesus Christ says, if you would just have a relationship with me, he said, it would all make sense. He said, you would like it. If you would just start a relationship with Christ, let me tell you something. You would not want to stop. You would not want, you say, I don't care what my friends say. I have found joy. I have found fulfillment. And let me tell you something. It's not always easy. The walk is not always easy. The journey may be hard, but when Christ is walking with you, it's worth it. When Christ is walking with you, it's okay. Or maybe we should say, when you finally acknowledge that Christ is walking with you, because He's been with you the whole time. The resurrection, we said, brings us reconciliation. The resurrection, we said, brings us a relationship. Number three, this is the last point. The resurrection brings us responsibility. Okay, what are you talking about? Go back to Luke 24. Real quickly. We've got to finish this up. Luke 24. I heard a preacher say this. The best part of a sermon is the closing. So I like to close three times. You know what I mean? Just we do it once and we do it twice. Okay, so this is the first close. Number three. The resurrection brought responsibility. What are we talking about? Look at verse 46. Are you there? Luke 24, verse 46. Look what the Bible says. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved. You know what the word behoove means? It means to be necessary. It means to be proper. It means to be advantageous. He says, this is what it means. It means to make it worth it. No, I want you to see this. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoove Christ to what? To suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. It behooved Christ to suffer. It behooved Christ to... It was advantageous for Christ to die on the cross and resurrect. It was proper. It was worth it. Here's what He's saying. Here's what Jesus is saying. I suffered and I died and I resurrected. And He said, it would be worth it for me if... Look at verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. You know what Jesus is saying? He said, my resurrection brought reconciliation. You can be reconciled to God. Your sins can be forgiven. You can be saved. Amen. And He said, my resurrection brings the opportunity for a relationship with Christ. And I would hope that maybe today you would decide, you know what? I am going to begin to learn the Bible. I am going to become faithful to church. I am going to get baptized, or I am going to do this, or I am going to do that. I am going to pray, or whatever it is you got to do. That next step of growth, I would hope you would take that and say, I'm going to begin to purposely walk with Christ. Because yes. He said the resurrection brought that availability. He brought the availability to this up, but you know what else the resurrection brought? Responsibility. Say what? The gospel is what brings salvation. And God has now entrusted to us. Did you keep your finger there in 2 Corinthians 5? I told you to. You weren't listening. It's not my fault. Look at verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Okay, so He reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. But that's not it. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our responsibility. That's why we go out and knock on these doors. That's why we highlight that map. That's why we go out and knock on doors. You say, you're just knocking on doors because you're inviting people to church. Yeah, we're inviting people to church. And yeah, we're giving them a flyer. But you know what we're really trying to do is get them saved. You know what we're trying to do? We knock on the door. We say, hey, we're coming for Verity Baptist Church. We'd love for you to come by and visit. Oh, well, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter, because the next question we're going to ask is, hey, let me ask you something. More importantly than going to church, do you know if you die today if you go to heaven?
Yes.
Why? Because we have a responsibility to preach the gospel. People say, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Man, if I could show you how you could know you're on your way to heaven, would you allow me to show you a few verses? Sometimes people say, I'm not interested. I don't believe in that. Get out of here. Stop coming. But sometimes people say, man, I'd love to know that. And we go through and we show them. You say, what do we show them? We show them that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. We show them that their sins have condemned them to hell, but that Jesus loved them and forgave them of their sins. We show them that if they just simply believed on Christ and asked Him to save them. And you know what? Every once in a while, someone bows their heads and receives Christ as their Savior. And when they're reconciled to Christ, we met our responsibility to preach the gospel. You say, do you win them all? We don't win them all, but we can warn them all. I can't force people to believe, but if they go to hell, at least it won't be my fault. If they say, well, I don't believe in that, okay, well, at least I told you. At least I met my responsibility. See, the resurrection is great. It brought reconciliation. The resurrection is great. It brought a relationship. The resurrection also brought a responsibility to bring the gospel to the lost world. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. That's what the resurrection brought. Maybe you need to be reconciled. Maybe you're not saved. If you're sitting here this morning, you say, I don't know, if I die today, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Please talk to me after the service. I'd love to show you. Maybe you need to be reconciled. Maybe you say, Pastor, I am saved. I came to church, I got saved, I believe on Jesus Christ, I cannot lose it, it's eternal security. You say, I'm saved. Maybe you need to step, maybe you need to take the first step in that relationship with Christ. Maybe you need to take that little card there and check on there. I'd like to be baptized. The first commandment that God gives you after salvation. Maybe you need to say, I'm gonna grab one of those Bibles and take it home and start reading it. Maybe you say, I'm going to start dividing. Maybe some of you just need to decide, I'm going to start being faithful to church and coming to this thing and trying to figure out what this whole thing about Jesus is. That'd be a good start. I don't know where you are in life, but maybe you need to take that step. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm reconciled. I've got a relationship. I'm learning the Bible. I've been coming to church. I'm growing, and I've been baptized, and I've been reading, and I've been praying, and I've been doing. And maybe now you need to take that step of your responsibility and go preach the gospel to somebody. That's what the resurrection brought. I hope you're excited about it. I'm thankful for the eggs, and it's fun. But Easter is not about eggs. It's not about candy. It's about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dimly, Father, Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to read the Bible and know that we can be saved. Father, thank you for a new start, a new life. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for reconciling us to God. Thank you for a relationship. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to meet our responsibilities. Father, we love you. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.